All right, so we're here now for another episode of the Social Marketing Hour. And today I got another great guest. This individual is an absolute powerhouse, and we are happy to have him on board here on the Social Marketing Hour. And he's a guy that has a big passion for helping people succeed in the world of business. He has a great mind in the subject of business and marketing, and he succeeded dramatically building his own business, which is called Shine On. We're going to talk about that during the podcast. He has brought a community of people that want to sell their own brand, and without having to host inventory. And I know that he's going to tell us a little bit about that, but he's created a lot of millionaires that have not had to go through the pains that I went through to build my business. Because, you know, as you guys know, on the product side of things, the biggest barrier that we all have to cross is inventory. And Eric and his team, they figure out how to actually remove that barrier, and they've created an incredible machine, and he has a lot of value to share. So Eric, welcome to the Social Marketing Hour. Yeah. Great to have you here, man.
So cool. And we're both local too.
That's right. That's right. I know we're working hard on getting you the help that you need to help you spread your message.
Yeah.
So these guys here are going to enjoy that, because you're still not really going full on, but you have a lot of value to give to the world. So I know you want to change the world. You want to make people better. You want to give them the tools. Tell us a little bit about your intro.
Yeah. So my company Shine On, you know, we were really the first print on demand and custom jewelry platform and Shopify app. Currently, we have about 13,000 merchants that have our app installed. Wow. Currently, we have about 5,000 active merchants. So they're selling like every week, at least one product.
Wow.
So the whole goal is to help people. You know, I don't know how many millionaires we've created. We also only see revenue. We don't see like how much they've spent on ads and all of that.
Right.
But it's been a good journey. It's been about 6 years now. And really our merchant community spawned out of like the t-shirt community. So with like Teespring back in 2014 and 2015. And really like that, I think that point in time was an amazing time. Like the print on demand t-shirts were really one of the first things people were selling, because back then you remember, all you had to do was make a page, create an audience around that page. Anything you post on that page, people will, like 90% of people will see that post for free. So when people started selling t-shirts on there, you know, you had total idiots just literally making a post of a design and making millions of dollars.
Wow.
And so, Teespring was 1 hour away from me. I was in Boston working at a different tech startup called CustomMade.com. And I'll talk a little bit about that.
Custom, that's a great domain.
Custom jewelry. Yeah. And so I was there for 4 to 5 years. And then Teespring started popping up in 14, 15. And I really just was obsessed with their model. And I actually didn't know they worked with merchants and Facebook marketers. Thought it was just a site where you would make your own shirt and sell it locally. So yeah, it's been a fun journey, kind of getting connected with this world of Facebook marketers and print on demand and drop shipping and Shopify. And it's super fun. And I'm still very bullish on the industry as a whole. I've seen a lot of people come and go, like a lot of flash in the pan companies and services and people. But we're still doing great. And I'm super bullish.
Amazing. So when you say bullish on the industry, you're talking about the print on demand industry?
Print on demand, yes. And drop shipping. When I think of drop shipping, like I don't just think of like China drop shipping. I think of like, you know, somebody else carries your inventory.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm very bullish on that model and just helping people build their own brand. I think that the only thing that can really save the world against Amazon like taking over everything is empowering people to sell similar products efficiently and helping like your neighbor profit from selling that product. I'd rather buy from my neighbor than buy from Amazon.
100%.
Yeah.
That's a great concept. It really is. It you said it correctly. It's empowering the people to be able to do it themselves.
Yeah.
Without having to depend on a machine like Amazon, right?
Exactly.
So that's great. So Eric, you guys have a very incredible journey, 6 years in the making. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you until Shine On started really grabbing some traction?
Let me see. Well, You know, we had some initial traction with the company in 2016 when we started.
Technically, you guys are considered a tech company, right?
Yeah, well, we're kind of three companies in one. Where we run, currently we have two factories. We have one here in St. Pete. We have one in Amsterdam. And then we are a software company, so we have a full tech team of like about a dozen, maybe 15 full-time engineers. And then we are a marketing company, so we do coaching, training, and we're actually just starting our first paid acquisition of merchants. Like we grew, we're doing about $80 million a year in sales, and that whole thing was just organic, like zero paid ads, people just telling each other about the service and recommending it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So $80 million in jewelry being purchased.
Yeah.
In your St. Pete and in your out-of-the-country location. You said it was where?
Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of product being moved. Was that a big nightmare to scale, just being able to have the manufacturers like produce that amount of product?
No, it's no problem. The scaling of the product is no issue. I think the biggest lessons have been the organization changing as we level up. So I think I actually don't know how many employees we have. A lot of people are like, you don't even have eyes on your business. I'm like, no, you don't get it, dude. It's just like too much going on. I mostly focus on the core C team.
Right.
But I think we have about 85, 90 employees. There's peaks, you know, shipping in our factory right now, we have at least 50, 60 people in St. Pete. And then we have another 40 to 50 full-time in marketing, engineering, customer service, stuff like that.
So you're basically, I get the ecosystem, right? The whole ecosystem to give the people the opportunity, which is what we're doing with, I briefly told you about this when we started the interview.
Yeah.
Our company is called Honeycomb, which stands for Honeycommerce. We're doing the same thing that you're doing at the beginning of the journey, and it's in the subject of consumables, right? So supplements, in the future, skincare and beauty, et cetera. People keep on buying that stuff. So it's an ecosystem. That's what we're doing, in which you're giving people the manufacturer solution.
Mm-hmm.
You hold the inventory.
Yes.
You have the software for them to actually select what they want to put in their stores.
Correct.
Right? And what they want to sell. And then you also do the fulfillment for
the people. I mean, what we do is we remove all the painful shit for entrepreneurs. Like, you know, keeping track, like doing the shipping, like, you know, creating the software so they don't have to touch anything, making everything seamless, doing the customer service, like all the boring shit. Because we want the merchants in their zone of genius. Like the merchants are super creative. They come up with crazy angles on the jewelry and the brands are creating. Like we would never be able to think of all those angles on our own. So in a way, by being really good at infrastructure, that opens up creativity for all the users. And so that's how we've benefited the most is we keep quadrupling down on infrastructure.
Wow.
And we've learned a lot about that because everyone thinks they can do it. Like people, even our top sellers are like, well, shit, I'm going to buy this jewelry from China and I'm going to buy boxes and I'm going to print my message card and I'm going to do this at home. And I'm like, dude, good luck. You have no idea like how many things go into the cost of a product. When you add up all your time that it takes, there's no way you'll be able to do it cheaper than we do it.
100%.
No way.
And that's the thing about what you guys have figured out that we're working on it ourselves. It's the cutting the line dramatically for people to be able to succeed.
Yeah.
So I have been helping companies for 7 years officially since we've been a marketing organization.
Yeah.
And the one thing that makes them successful, when a client comes in, I would be lying if I would tell you that every single time that I've helped have a client jumped in, that I've helped them become successful. The one thing that always makes them successful is that when they're doing everything that you are describing that shine on dust for the client, creation of the brand, the coming up with new products and the logistics and the fulfillment is the high quality customer service and all those things that you guys are eliminating from the equation. When they have those things in place, then they succeed at a very high rate. But when they come and they just want marketing and they don't know how to do all the other things, then it usually falls apart. So you're taking away easily 5-10 years from the journey from any of these guys to be able to succeed.
Definitely. Like how many, like, why do you, we don't want people to like learn how to buy from China and negotiate from China to do logistics, like to, We have like Six Sigma and Lean, like in the whole factory, like everything is timed down to the millisecond. Like you don't want people, what's the point of them going through that? It's actually not even helping them if they were going to do it on their own. We don't want them to take 7 years to get successful. So, yeah, actually we try to take it a step further now where, you know, we're starting to include coaching and training and content where we, if they actually just copy exactly what we're doing, because we also run our own stores.
So you have your own jewelry store.
We sell the same product that the merchants sell. And this is so we can use it as a guide and show them exactly what to do.
That's right.
And a lot of the times, you know, there's a lot of big sellers who will have their own angle. But for the majority of people, if they literally just kind of shut up and just listen to exactly what we say, like they'll be profitable.
That's right.
Yeah.
A couple of takeaways here from a conversation with Eric. Number one, the amount of time that it takes to succeed in the game of business, right? So before Shineon, you spent how many years being a part of another company?
Yeah, I was at a Google-funded tech startup called CustomMade.com in Cambridge, Mass. I was there from 2010 to 2014. And it was an amazing experience. I was the I was 22. I was the first employee, first full-time employee. And this was a pre-seed company at the time. It just was on Craigslist. And I just loved the domain. And I was like, I don't care. I want to be part of this. I even told the founders, like, I'll work for free. They thought I was fucking crazy. So I actually did work for free. I worked on a commission basis, making sales for them. And yeah, so we went through four rounds of funding, the seed, the Series A, and the Series B. That was Series A and Series B were led by Google Ventures, which was really cool. But we had literally all the top, you know, Silicon Valley funds. First round capital was in there. And so it was really a great experience for me being super young and like learning how to mature a company. But I was never like the owner. You know, I never even owned a ton of stock. I just kicked ass, made a lot of other people rich, which is fine because they were the first people to invest in Shineon when I left.
But so. It was also your internship. It's like you're training yourself. Because what we do know is that the universities are not going to teach you what you learned over the last decade.
Yeah.
So you had to go to the battlefield, be in the trenches and really go through the process to really understand it. So your mind starts opening up as to those opportunities. That's why it's something that we call the power of collaboration, right? You're going into a group of people that are actually succeeding at something and you're learning along the way so you can actually visualize what you want to do and just open up your mind in regards to that.
Yeah.
So you can't really succeed without that journey.
One thing, I mean, those guys are my two mentors from Custom Made. They're two of my best friends still. CustomMade actually did not work out. That instance is actually was repurchased by somebody else, and now it's actually successful. It's $20, $30 million a year.
Wow.
The other founder, Mike, he owns ButcherBox.com, which does $600 million a year in subscription revenue.
Wow.
And so kind of the three of us.
What do they sell? ButcherBox.
It's meat. It's makes sense. Subscription grass-fed meat delivered to your door with like dry ice. And we all learned from that CustomMade experience early on. And then when we left, we were like way more successful after that. But for me, like my number one lesson, and they would even tell me, they're like, access is the number one thing when you're young. Just get access to people. Like stay late, work for free. Like just get access to people. Like you could fuck up in your 20s, like throughout your entire 20s and still come out fine. The key is making alliances. Like making other people rich, I think is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Just wait your turn. You'll get there.
You'll get your turn.
Yeah.
So my entire journey is built around access, 100%. Mm. If I don't connect with people along the way, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I created an obsession, and this is again something that, you know, there's a lot of people that would watch this video that they want to get some takeaways.
Yeah.
That is the biggest thing that anybody needs to really get. The actual connection with power, which can also be called access, right? Like I love the how you describe it, like, you know, you want to make somebody else rich, push as much as possible, so much so that you're looking for at sure. it afterwards and you're saying to yourself, wow, I made this guy a lot of money, or I made this girl a lot of money. Wow. Yeah. That's going to be something that, again, that's how you build your character, your ability, your skill, all of it. So once you get your turn, you can take advantage of that. So 12 years in the making, right? Like until right now, we are about to wrap up 2022 when we're recording this, you and I here.
Yeah.
So it's been a long journey for you. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I wanted to mention to everybody watching this is it's the word opportunity. Opportunity. Mm-hmm. So there's people like Eric. There's people like myself, which we are consistently looking to present opportunities for people. Mm-hmm. I have gotten opportunities along the way. Without these opportunities, I'm not here. But here's the difference between people like you and me, Eric. We saw opportunities, and not only did we see them, we walked through those opportunities, and we decided mm-hmm. to do something about those opportunities. And the main thing is that if anybody wants to succeed, yes, they got to get access. Along the way, they got to observe these opportunities being presented, and they got to walk through these opportunities. Mm-hmm. Think about 10,000, 13,000 sellers that you have. You probably made hundreds, if not over 1,000 people that became millionaires building their own brand mm-hmm. because you opened up a door for them to build their own brands. And you took away all the logistics, all the problems that people encounter along the way. You know, the other day I was going over invoices.
Yeah.
That the first invoices that I had to pay for my Natural Sense Supplement brand.
Yeah.
We're talking about $50,000 invoices, $30,000 invoices, starting with four or five products. This is something that is it's a barrier that is pretty impossible yes. to cross in the early stages.
Yes.
So when you have somebody like Eric with Shine On, what we have with the supplement side of things with Honeycomb, presenting an opportunity to get rid of that whole thing mm-hmm. and be like, hey, we're going to give you the platform, the training, the software, the all the different
for
steps,
sure.
the guides, all of it. All you got to do is like get good at this. And not only are we going to, all you got to do is get good at this, I'm going to give you the guide so you can get good at that, right? It's like, you just got to have the willingness to walk yeah. through that opportunity, right?
Yeah, it is a huge, you know, we're in a great position to help people. Like, I'm motivated to wake up every day. And the more I work on Shine On, the more I'm like developing other millionaires, right? And now, like, we have this community that we all trust each other. We're all going to like keep doing business together no matter what we do in the future. It's really amazing to empower these folks. Another thing too that's great is like we've created a lot of millionaires in Vietnam and Philippines.
Wow.
And the reason
they sell in the US?
Yeah, the reason's they know English. And they actually sell in the U.S. So $10 profit per order. For us, we need to sell, let's say, like 10 items a day to make $100. That's food and rent. For them, they only need to sell like one item a day, right? $10 for their food and their rent. So they're actually willing to take less profit per order, meaning on their ads, they're going to be able to outspend you and me. So that's why we're like so popular in Vietnam and Philippines and Southeast
Makes
Asia.
Sense.
They're still selling to Americans, but they'll accept a lower profit because their cost of living is lower.
Yeah.
So they can actually scale much right. bigger and like huge sellers in Vietnam, huge.
So it's a really it's an international opportunity. It really
yeah.
is, right? So the Philippines, which is a great example, I believe the average household income is $5,000. When
yeah.
over here in the U.S., you're looking at $40,000.
Yeah.
It might be less, you're thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you look at several people working full-time,
yeah,
if they're making $4,000 to $5,000 a year in
yeah.
total, they're in the middle class.
That's normal, yeah.
They're doing well already. It's decent. So it tells you how less they need, right, to be able to make it. That's an opportunity, an international opportunity.
Yeah.
So from the 13,000 sellers that you have,
yeah.
What would you say is your best audience for Shine On? Who are like, if somebody's listening to this and they want to know if they are a good fit for the platform?
Yeah, so we've tried to analyze that demographics and age. There isn't any one.
It varies.
We don't like, I don't think about our customer in terms of like race and age and like demographics. I think about them in mindset. Like, these people are highly motivated to learn e-commerce. They've tried some few things before and it's failed. They need some social proof and they need to be with the right people teaching them. And so something that's been actually working great for us is a challenge. It's a $47 challenge. We found that them just committing some money, doesn't have to be a $10,000 coaching program, could be anything. They're much more engaged. They're going to go through the training all the way and then they're going to sell more products. So it's really like a mindset thing. You know, people who have heard about e-commerce, they've heard about drop shipping and print on demand, and they need something that's kind of low ticket to just get started and have some commitment going.
Because they could even keep their jobs, keep on getting, you know, their usual safe and secure paycheck, and build this after hours.
Actually, you wouldn't believe this, but the current our current president of the company was a Shine On seller in 2019.
Oh, really?
Only 3 years ago. He was our number one seller. And he was working for Sprint full time. He had 300 people under him at Sprint.
Wow.
So he was actually just selling our product like after work, like at night for a few hours a day. And so I would call him all the time because I talk to our top sellers and I'm friends with them. And I'd be like, what are you doing, dude? Because he did 92,000 in one day.
Wow.
And I was like, you're fucking crazy, man.
Jewelry.
Yeah, and jewelry. And so.
That's a lot of profit right there. High profit margin company, business.
High profit, yeah. Like a lot of our, I'd say our top sellers are averaging about 20% net. So a lot of them, yeah, a lot of them would make, you know, 5 to 10K per day in the last couple of weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, profit.
So I know we're talking a lot about Shine On, but I get excited about opportunities. And, you know, my main motivation is to get people to start jumping on opportunities instead of being paralyzed and just keep on learning and watching YouTube videos, just get into action and start doing something about it. I don't care what it is, but they got to do something about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to fail, right? In the world of business, is normal. You fail and you pick yourself up and you keep on going. That's just the way it is. But sometimes you succeed. And when you succeed, you know, you build empires, right? Like my company, Natural Slim, you know, we're full of failures along the way. Now we do $50 million a year in revenue. And we service a lot of people with our products and services. So if you don't take risk along the way and you don't get going, then you don't get there.
So, I actually almost lost Shine On twice.
Wow.
The first year I had to fire the entire company because we ran out of money.
Wow.
So, that was my biggest lesson. But not everyone needs to go through what I went through.
Right.
Like I was single. I didn't have any huge debts. I literally burned all the ships in my life and I went into a hole and I came out successful. Now, I had great lessons from that, but we don't want everyone to have to go through that.
Yeah, and that's why you want to listen to people that have done it so you can try to avoid those pitfalls along the way, right? So, Eric, you know, there's a question that I get a lot. So I did a lot of a few webinars recently in the last month to promote our new software, our new program, and our new opportunity. It's called Honeycomb, which stands for Honey Commerce. So a question that I got a lot was, there's a concern with a lot of people using the same products that are just getting a different label on them, right? So what do you say to your sellers? Because in your case, I know Shine On is a little different because you can really customize the jewelry. You can add your, you know, initials and other things like that are more like unique.
Yeah.
On our side, right? Like we're literally just taking this Pellegrino bottle.
Yeah.
And we're taking putting out the label and we're putting a new label on it and we're calling it, I don't know, the AGM Marketing Ninja. I had a great conversation with a friend of mine, another marketer. His name is Dan Henry. I don't know if you know Dan.
Yeah, he's my neighbor.
Oh yeah, that's right. Right. So we're talking in my house. He was at the party. Yeah. Right. And we're talking about helping him build his own brand. So we have a line of gummies. Jimmy, can you throw one of those things on the floor next to you? They're right behind you right there. Boom, on top of the, there you go. Throw this one in. Wow. Throw it, you're good, man. Okay, so this is a gummy brand, all right? Mm-hmm. So this one, right, for example, right here is Lion's Mane Mushrooms, not to be confused with hallucinogenic mushrooms. This is not really one of those, but what the concept is very simple. Like there's supplements that that are high quality supplements. Was that? Yeah, yeah. High quality supplements that are being manufactured in the U.S. All of it is in the U.S. It's a warehouse, a manufacturing facility that I actually got to visit, and you know we own a part of this manufacturing. It's amazing. The high certification in the world. It's freaking amazing. So we're giving an opportunity for people to come in there and say, listen. We're going to teach you marketing. We're going to show you all the different ins and the outs of supplements. I'm doing somewhere around $250 million a year in supplement revenue. So I know a lot about it. So let me guide you so you can build your own supplement brand. It hasn't been done before, not to this level that we're doing it.
Right.
So Dan comes in and he says, okay, good. I got an idea. I'm going to build a brand. And I'm going to, spoiler alert, we're going to do it for him. It's called Closer Gummies. You know that that's what Dan, that's he's what it's all about. He's teaching close people how to close, right? Closedeals.com, right?
Close Deals, yeah.
That's his website. So we're going to take this label, take it out, right? And it's all going to be like print on demand supplements, and he's going to put coffee, closer gummies, and he's going to give it to the sales machine that he has and also sell it to his audience so they can help people become better closers. Mm-hmm. That's the whole angle. So you take a supplement that is a good quality supplement for your body and you rebrand it and you mm-hmm. make it like just special for yourself.
Yeah.
So the question here for you, because you've been through this for several years already, mm-hmm. how do you explain to a seller that wants to be a part of the opportunity, wants to do this, but the one thing that is like sticking on his head is like, everybody's going to be doing the same thing. I'm going to be doing something that everybody else is doing. How many of these exact gummies can people buy? People don't understand the size of the market. They don't get it. How do you, you know, you're talking about 300 million human beings just in the US, right?
Right.
4 billion people on the internet. Forget about the 8 billion on the planet. 4 billion people on the internet.
Yes.
Right? So how do you explain to somebody, I say to you, hey, Eric, I want to join Shine On. I'm concerned. There's too many other sellers. You see, you got 13,000 people in there selling. Am I just going to be like what do they call it? Like a run to the ground with like pricing? There's a term for that.
Yeah,
right?
Race to the bottom.
Race to the bottom, right?
Yeah, so this is an assumed, Dan has that, he has that opinion because that's an assumed merchant problem. But that isn't a problem that actually exists in reality. Because if you're at enough saturation where everyone's selling the same thing and the buying market is also saturated, everyone's going to be fucking rich.
Just to be clear, Dan did not say that. Dan wants to do the brand.
Right.
He, not for one second he said, I'm concerned about everybody else is doing it. Because a marketer like Dan, he understands that selling is up to him. It doesn't matter how many people are doing it.
The
right?
pie is way too big.
It's like, too big, right?
The pie is just so massive. Like, people don't understand the scale of buyers. And so, look, if there is crossover, like, it's just not going to happen. If there is that amount of saturation, anybody he would be competing against selling the same product, everyone's going to be rich if you get to that kind of saturation. So this is only, it's not a problem. It's like, if you have that problem, you're going to be rich. You know what
so
I mean?
So it's such a big world, right? Like, yeah. When an astronomer explains the size of the universe,
yeah.
you start thinking that, you know, it's going to get crowded really fast because the universe compared to this planet,
yeah.
it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So I think that we can use an analogy, and I hadn't even thought about this before, but it's almost like a brand, mm-hmm. one brand,
yeah.
is to the planet what the planet is to the universe, right? It's that size. Like in the bulk of things, right? How many brands would you say? Here's a real question.
Yeah.
So you have 13,000 sellers.
Yeah.
What's the number that you say of Shine On sellers that mm-hmm. you think, oh, wait a second, these guys are going to be crossing each other. It's going to be a disaster now. What's the number? Have you ever thought about that?
No.
It's no. that big.
I think what will happen is on like a macro level, we'll just start seeing the sales plateau eventually because we'll be so saturated that the growth might stop. But we'll have made so much money. The company will be so big. It'll probably be sold by that time. So it's not really an issue, but you have to consider the sentiment of the merchants. So if the merchants, if they feel that way, then that's a serious issue because we need to make them feel like there's, you know, they're not going to be locked into just a few products. So we have to provide hope. So I think new product development is considering the merchant sentiment and keeping them happy. And so, yes, the speed at which you launch new products is important. The way that you liquidate products is important for the merchants. What we actually do now is we actually have new machinery where we actually cut out any shape we want, like on demand. Meaning, we don't have like inventory. We have sheets of silver and we have sheets of steel. Mm. So it's amazing. So
oh, that's cool.
We can create any SKU we want.
I want to see that factory.
Yeah, come over.
That's amazing.
It's pretty close. But yeah, that's like, you know, now we can launch without having to buy all this inventory from China. We can launch as many products as we want on demand.
And that's the key because it's also such a very, like there's kind of like the artists in yeah. every single seller can come out.
Yeah.
And it can be customized for that person.
Right? Yes. That and, you know, yeah, they have shiny object syndrome. Like a merchant, like we're grateful that they're even talking to us. Like, cause they could be on Amazon selling used air conditioners. Like why sell your product? They could sell 10 billion different things. So we have to consider that we're grateful to have them here. They could sell anything and probably be successful doing anything, right? But let's remember they have shiny object syndrome. So if you're not the one constantly giving them shiny objects, they're
No pun intended, by the way.
They're
gonna you do sell shiny objects, right?
They're gonna try someone else. They're gonna try another, whatever like the new thing is, they're gonna go try that.
Right.
So it's kind of your job to keep the light bulb flashing, you know, for these people constantly.
Right. Right. That's why the community comes in, right?
Yeah.
Just keep them going and showing them the path, right? For them to succeed. That's the way it is.
Exactly.
That's great stuff. So you have seen a lot of evidence of sellers succeed in e-commerce.
Yeah.
What is that? What would be a few different, like anybody that, whether they want to do print on demand or drop shipping, or they want to build their own brand, or they have their own formulas, so or whatever it is, right? The basics of success on e-commerce are the basics of success.
Yeah. Right?
What would you say are a few things that you have observed? Common denominators, 13,000 sellers, 5,000 of them selling something every week.
Yeah.
A few thousand probably absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
What are you seeing on the ones that are at the top of the game?
Hmm.
Are they scaling a lot of brands? Are they adding 50 different, not a lot of brands, but are they going broad on a brand and adding 50 SKUs to it? Or are they zeroing down on two or three products and then just finding ones that work and scaling those?
So I'll be honest with you. I think our community is one of the best in the world for acquisition marketing, meaning like advertising a product to a cold audience and you're getting that one sale. We're actually not great at building full-on brands out. One is because it's a gifting product. Like it's hard to get people back. When you buy a gift, you give it away and then like both parties forgot where it came from. So that's another, that's an issue we do.
So it's more valuable for you guys to figure out a funnel that works for two or three products than to add a 25 product brand.
Yeah. So what we're doing is like, and we don't have, if you want to help merchants build a huge brands out, you have to bankroll all these new SKUs of inventory. And we do that up to a certain extent, but we're not going to be helping them build huge lifetime value stores. What we're actually starting to figure out now is we're better off partnering with a huge company that has $80 million in inventory. And we refer them over with an offer, right? And so we're really good at acquisition. We do it cheap. You know, we're averaging like $30 CPAs. And there's big public companies out there that are paying like $200 to acquire a customer. But they're better at the brand. They're better at the lifetime value. So we would rather refer them after that initial purchase, give the merchant opportunity to refer that customer to somebody else. And then we're setting up the system called Shine Cash, which is just mailbox money.
That's great.
Yeah. So they don't have to do anything. That customer that they refer to somebody else is tagged. Yeah.
So other companies refer to you and you refer to them.
An example.
You're building an ecosystem.
An example would be soon you'll be able to, as a merchant, like, you'll be able to flip the switch on to adding different offers into the package when it ships. So they buy your product that's fulfilled by Shine-On, and then we might offer a $25 gift card for XYZ store. And it's not affiliated with us. It's a totally different company. It's kind of like the USPS. When you change your address, you get a crate and barrel offer. Yeah, so we're going to actually look at into doing that because the value of that customer is actually, it's much, much higher than them just buying the print-on-demand products. Like they might actually be interested in all sorts of other stuff too. And so we want to make a really compelling offer to have somebody else do that heavy lifting. Because like we want to stay in our zone of genius. It's like acquisition marketing. And what we've found is we're really good at that because there's a certain like emotional element involved with our jewelry. And that works really great on social media because people are scrolling and they're like, oh my God, like, I'm crying. I need to get that for my daughter. And so we're really good at that emotion part. But we're not good at brand building, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on that example that you said on USPS.com, right?
Yeah.
So when you go through that process and you get the crate barrels and whatever, all these things, are these companies paying USPS for that spot? Or is that, do you know how that works? Like if you guys start, how would you reward or how would Shine-On get paid?
We're looking at percentage of revenue. So just for an example, if we, you know, we'll put the offers in the package for you. And, you know, it's like 25% of all revenue that customer buys from that company up to a cap that comes back to Shinon. And then we actually give that back to the merchants. So if they're averaging, you know, $10 profit per customer, over time, we'll actually be able to tell you, no, now you're actually averaging 20. It's just you have to wait for the other 10.
Right.
So they can actually go out spend on the front end on the acquisition.
I see.
So that's where, like, we have to really milk this customer for as much money as we can, even if we're just referring them out with different offers.
Right.
Yeah.
And this big company that you mentioned, for example, that has like $80 million of inventory.
Yeah.
So it's a separate platform.
I would love to tell you about it, but I can't yet.
You can't until the press release. But let's, for example, now give me specifics. Like,
yeah.
With a relationship like that,
yeah,
it's still two separate platforms, right?
Yep.
They just refer to each other.
And yeah.
They can build a brand over there of something else while they build the jewelry brand. Is that right?
Yeah. So, sorry.
So just thinking about, for example, Honeycomb, right? Like,
yeah.
How could these two help each other out? Because they're in completely different side of things, right? One of them is consumable and you got the jewelry. Two different worlds.
Sure. Right? Yeah. We could do an example with Honeycomb. Like, if you're helping a merchant create their supplement store, maybe they buy 5 times a year from that store. Well, occasionally through email, through insertions, like it would make sense to create offers for similar products at other companies because they may have bought all they're going to buy from you, but you know, maybe in a similar vertical or maybe a different vertical, but same persona, you know, they'd buy stuff at another company. So it is kind of affiliate. It's just, it's not, you know, it's a little bit different than your traditional affiliate arrangement.
Yeah. And it has to also be related somehow. Like
you're
not going to do jewelry to selling them weight loss, right? Because it's like two completely different worlds and it doesn't make any sense, right? Like, as usually a seller is a lot of these guys that you guys have selling on your platform, they're just trying to build a business. So whatever opportunity is there is what they want to jump on. Right?
Yes. They just care about money.
Right.
Like,
usually.
Yeah. You want to build a brand and everyone wants to like feel good about their brand, but they don't, money is still the most important thing.
Right.
It is. Right. And like, I don't think we're shy about that because you can say, yeah, we're hardcore about profits. Like my Facebook group, most engaged Facebook e-commerce group in the world at Shine On Profits On Demand.
Those are facts.
We literally have profits in it. Facts based on
Shinon Profits On Demand.
On Demand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we actually monthly we'll check out all the most popular e-commerce groups on Facebook. We'll basically do a tally of, you know, all of the users, the tally of the engaged users, and then divide by comments and likes and shares. And so we're like 4 times more engaged than the ClickFunnels group.
Wow.
On average. Even though ClickFunnels has like 200,000 or 300,000, we have 40,000. But our engagement per member is like way higher than that.
Wow.
Way higher than anyone else.
People are liking it. They see the opportunity.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. That's great. But sorry, what I was getting at with the engagement is like, there's a way to tastefully do all of this. Like if you make profits like fun and supportive and like, it's not all about like paying your rent or sticking it to your boss. And like, we don't do any of that negative energy. It's like all about having fun.
Right.
So one of our values for the whole company, we have four. One of them is actually build the fun zone. It's like, how can we keep people in this fun loop all the time?
Right.
Yeah.
So making money is just fun. This is the way it should be. It's a game.
Yeah. And entrepreneurship's like super lonely. You know this.
Yeah.
But like, especially if you're a drop shipper, because you're not going into like a factory every day. So you're just on your laptop in Thailand or wherever, and you're like always alone. So can we give them a space where they can have fun and connect and whatever.
Yeah, it's great.
We actually live stream the factories, the Amsterdam one and the St. Pete one. So when you log into our app, if you just want to watch us ship your orders, you can do that anytime.
That's awesome.
So that's what I'm saying is like, invite them in, make them feel like they're part of the company, even though they're not like, you know, they're partners. They're not employees, but same thing.
It's great. So Eric, what was that moment for you guys that you started going maybe into what we can call critical mass growth or something? Was it just going into the Shopify store and being an approved app, or what happened for you guys that started spreading the word like crazy, and you guys started getting users, building brands with your system?
This was actually my talk at Traffic and Conversion.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sorry.
Did you want to hear it? No?
Okay. I actually missed yours too, so
okay.
We'll have to
share that.
We'll have to share. But I'll be honest, like, we've just grown through word of mouth. We haven't done any marketing. And now we're actually starting to get the funnel dialed in, the lifetime value, the CPA. Now we're actually starting to turn on paid acquisition. So I think that's going to change us from an $80 million company to $200-$300. But how we grew so quickly was having a hardcore focus on the service and the app. And like,
so making the seller successful.
Yeah, right? Making them successful. Creating like the best quality product in the space. Like doing what we say we're going to do. When we say we're going to do it, like actually do it. And if we don't, like be totally transparent about what happened. So just stop building those friendships. Us just like me going to so many events and establishing relationships with merchants, like all that stuff matters. But I would say most of all, it was like, it's the app, it's the service, and it's the margin too, because we're all fighting against Facebook CPAs. So like you have to give as much back to the merchant as you can while having a standardized profit margin for your business. So yeah, we have huge margins. Like our product's like $13-$14 wholesale, but then you as a merchant can sell it for like $60-$80. So there's a lot of playroom. Actually, supplements are great too. There's
very similar.
Huge margin.
That's right.
Actually, it's even better because there's continuity.
Absolutely.
With subscribe and
save. We get a 60% customer return rate every month. 60%.
Exactly. But for us, yeah, it's just been building great product, a supportive community, and like being really consistent. Like we haven't missed a Facebook Live in over 2 years.
So you're talking to 100 the sellers.
100 weeks straight.
You're basically talking to the sellers.
For an hour and a half. Like every Friday.
On the Facebook group. You go in there, answer questions, engage with the community, you know, and...
Yeah, I think it's like... When you're starting something new and you're starting to create content, you probably know this better than me, but when you're starting to create content from a new channel or a new brand, like at first people see something and then, you know, they're going to move on with their day. But like if you keep hitting them again, now they're going to start to get interested. Now they're going to actually start watching. And then if you're consistent with the content, eventually they're going to be a user.
Right.
They'll be like, wow, other people are actually doing this thing. Like maybe Absolutely. There is something here. But that's where the consistency is important, because I think people, they just give up too early with their social or their channel. They get depressed because it's taken a year and there's no traction. It's like, dude, just keep going. Keep being consistent. People respect consistency.
Usually it takes a month before they give up. 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8. And then they start saying that it's not going to happen.
They don't
understand, right, what it really takes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think you as a, in your channel, like it's so important that you're more obsessed with what you're doing than they would ever be. So like, we're like obsessed about Shine On at Shine On. Like we sell the product. We're the number one seller of the product. And I think people like listen to us because we are the number one merchant. And that helps a lot with the content.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. So, Eric, what are a few, for anybody that has an e-commerce brand, what are things that you're seeing right now in the world of e-commerce, on Facebook ads, TikTok, YouTube? What are advices that you can give people?
Well, I would say that I think we're, as an industry, we're in a really good spot. I think that the competition's good. I'm really happy with TikTok, although I don't know. If there's a Republican president in 24, we might shut down TikTok. But regardless, I think that Facebook is going to get better. I think Facebook and Apple are going to make nice, and they're going to figure out their attribution. But even if they don't, there's so many third-party attribution tools like Hyros or Wicked Reports or Triple Whale that are like, they're maturing and their attribution is getting better and better. So I think the attribution issue is getting solved. I truly think that Meta and Facebook are going to split. So the profits from the failed metaverse stuff isn't affecting Facebook's profits.
That's their biggest mistake in their history.
Yeah.
Mix them all up.
But can you imagine if they put a new CEO just for Facebook, Zuck goes over and does Meta, and they really get their ad platform back and dialed in again. They get their, they get the user experience better.
Totally.
Facebook needs to, you know, hasn't changed in 10 years. So
yeah, they need to evolve. Yeah. They need to innovate, mm-hmm. for sure.
But yeah, we're in a good spot. I would say the tough part is that, like, the more successful you are, like, the more drop shippers that are successful, like, that is just making the cost of advertising space go up.
So it's, but that's what I meant by competition, right? Like, so it is, like, as we get a lot more sellers,
yeah,
we can expect the cost per acquisition to become a little higher. Is that right?
Yeah.
So
that's where I think actually developing new products for the market does help. There's so much, you know, so much you can do. It's unlimited with supplements. Like, there's always the new acai berry or whatever. So I think it's just keeping your ear to the ground of what's hot, allowing people to really milk that trend for 2 years and then come up with the next thing. Like, I'll be honest, our company exploded when we figured out the whole, like, message card thing, because we found out people weren't buying the jewelry. They were buying the message that you can customize as a merchant. So when we figured that out, and we were the first people to really advertise that product on Facebook, it really exploded.
Wow.
So now we're kind of looking for the next thing. And we really like the hyper-personalized part of cutting the names out and custom birthstones and all that stuff. I'll show you later.
Well, I think that's something that you can price into it for sure, because people are looking for that personalization more than anything else, the experience.
Yeah.
Of, like, somebody opening up that package and feeling that it was, somebody took the time to actually make it unique for them.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. Absolutely.
Well, you charge a premium too. Anything customized, personalized, people will pay like $20 more for that. So that could be all your profit is in the personalization. Like, we don't actually make that much on each order. We make like a few bucks on each order. Where we make the profit is on the upsells. We have a wood box upsell that's like a 40% take rate, plus $20 every time. We have a gold upsell. We have a post-purchase app for Shine On now. Like, we have, you can add little stud earrings and stuff like that. You can add package protection. You can add a warranty. It's like, it's crazy. So we want someone to walk in for a $30 item and walk out with like $100.
That's awesome. So I think that for you guys, a crucial point was being in the Shopify store, right? Because we're not there yet ourselves.
Yeah.
So the ability to integrate with a Shopify site and for them to be able, yeah, to add products right in there.
We actually weren't in the app store this whole time. We actually just got in the app store only 3 months ago.
So before, it used to be like they have to log into Shine On, select their products, and then make them integrate with Shopify.
No, you can still make an app. It's just an unlisted app. So we were like an unlisted app for 5 years up until now. So people would find us through the community or just going to shineon.com and installing. And now we're the number three result for print on demand in Shopify.
Wow.
So like one and two are $1 billion companies. It's like Printful and Gelato, and then it's Shine On.
So you search for print on demand and Shine On shows up first.
Number three, organic.
Wow.
But what we found is like we don't have that. We only have 100 reviews. And there's people with 1,000 reviews that are ranked lower than us. And what we found is with Shopify, it's not about reviews. It's about how many people have this actively installed.
Mm.
That's most important.
How many people are logging in? How many people are actually using it, right?
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not ratings or reviews. It doesn't matter. You just need like enough. Like I would say, just get like 100.
So right now at this point is your, I get that you said word of mouth. Would you say that being on that result is a big part of you guys getting new sellers consistently?
Yeah, it's starting to help now for sure. It's starting to help, but I would say between that and, you know, we're starting to run acquisition ads for merchants. That's definitely helping. Yeah.
On social media.
Yep.
Yeah. That's good. And then when it comes to going back to the merchants, the sellers, yeah, right? What are you seeing the type of creatives that are working for them? Are a lot of, yeah, these guys are personal brands talking about their jewelry and the potential for them to buy their own jewelry? Or are these guys just doing cookie cutter templates and video ads and 15-second reels? And what are you seeing that most often succeeds with these guys?
Well, you need a certain amount of core renders for the product, right? For just to publish the product on the product page. Some people will use those core images for their ads too.
The ones that you guys provide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, we don't have all the answers with the creativity. Like, we would rather crowdsource the solution. So what we try to do is actually just get samples in people's hands and they can take their own UGC. You know, we partnered with different people and services that do UGC. So, you know, we could refer them out that way. Yeah, you just got to get creative with the UGC, because TikTok is still, I would say, TikTok's probably 30% of all of our sales.
Wow, 30%.
30%, yeah.
Of all the jewelry sales for the actual
merchants. Maybe 20. I would say maybe probably 10 Amazon, 20 TikTok, and probably the rest Facebook.
Wow.
But even on Facebook, it's still like it's video ads are still working.
That's amazing. So just today, I found this on Facebook. I was targeted and I saved it because I hadn't seen this before. I don't know if you've seen it before. You mentioned UGC. So for those of you guys that are not familiar with that term, user generated content, it means the people that are just like you and me that are creating content around this product, and they pick it up and they say, wow, this is Lion's Mane. I just received it. Oh, it tastes delicious. It's amazing. And I'm using it for this and this and that, right? It just makes it look a lot more like real and human, which in these social media platforms right now is very powerful. What we found is that the more produced something is, the less results it gets, because people are being conditioned to high production things. They don't want to engage with them as much.
They don't trust it.
They don't trust it. Even though it's high quality, you got this fancy studio production and all these like expensive equipment stuff, and they don't want it as much. So
yeah,
UGC is very powerful. Now, there's if you are a personal brand, nothing is more powerful than you, right? That's the number one thing, right? Like if you take my father out of the natural slim equation, we are not natural slim. All right, Natural Slim is what it is, which is a pretty massive brand that has serviced millions of people across the world at this point. We're in nine countries. We are somewhere around $75 million in revenue internationally just in 2022. You take out the personal brand, I don't know where we'd be at. Now, here's the thing. Here's the reality. You got to leverage opportunities that are in front of you. Mm-hmm. I had my father as an opportunity, so I leveraged them. If I didn't have him... So he passed away almost 2 years ago already. If I didn't have him, I would have figured out some of the marketing strategy. But he was the opportunity because he was a great communicator, great content creator. Mm. He knew how to capture attention. So we just went all in with him. And we created a massive following. Still today, his content is seen by more people than before he passed away. Because we are doing some of the things that we want to do for you, right? Like with the content distribution and all those things. So just to give you an example, in the month of November, our social media channels had 3,200 publications organically, 3,200. So he would make one video a day for
your dad,
my father,
for Natural Slim, for our brand.
And it wasn't for the brand. It was for content, education, information, value. I always say that there's three types of content that you can create: inspiration, education, entertainment. My dad was an educator. He was an educator. You could say that he was entertaining too, right? Like people will laugh with him. He was a great communicator.
Yeah.
2012, this is all public information. Our YouTube channel is called Metabolismo TV. You can actually see when it was launched. March 12, 2012, we launched the first video ever on our content. Mm-hmm. And for a good 8 years before he passed away, maybe a few months before he passed away, he was still creating content. He started going downhill. Story for another day.
How many
physically
followers did he have?
So now today we have over 6 million on our YouTube channel.
For him,
right? It's called Metabolismo TV. So our subject was metabolism.
Yeah.
We created a YouTube channel called Metabolismo TV.
Okay.
So
In Spanish?
In Spanish. Okay. That's right. So in the United States, for example, the $50 million in revenue are 99% Latin American people. So that's our niche. Yeah, we went deep on that. ¿Hablas español?
Aprendiendo.
Okay, good. You have a Latin wife or something?
My fiance is Brazilian.
Okay.
But
Portuguese.
I love Latin culture.
It's a good culture.
Yeah.
A good culture.
So they're very supportive partners.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. So they are. My wife is at the epicenter of my evolution for sure across the board. She's Mexican. 2012, we launched his content. It took maybe a year and a half, just so people understand. My dad was a content unicorn. He was a great communicator. like he would know how to capture attention. It still took us a good 2 years of consistent content. He kept on thinking that he was a crazy old man talking to himself and to a camera. Somewhere around 2014, he started taking off, right? And then Facebook was an opportunity. We went all in on Facebook and started growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. So today we have somewhere around 20 million followers across all platforms. Several million on TikTok. This is after my dad passed.
Yeah.
We created the YouTube, the TikTok channels after my dad passed. So we started taking his content and splitting it up into 30 seconds, 60 seconds, 90 second little clips.
I'd love to see this sometime.
Really good stuff, right? But he's a great, great content creator. So because we had this content creator, that's what we leverage. If I didn't have that, I'm still a marketer. So my job is to capture attention at any cost. I mean, you are in my marketing company, which stands for AGM, stands for Attention Grabbing Media, right? So I got to figure out what's your superpower and leverage that. If I didn't have my father, I would have figured something else out. But I wouldn't have grown as fast as we did because he was so good at it that he made my job very easy. So to give you a specific example on, you know, we talk about return on investment, right? Mm-hmm. We put a dollar on advertising, we get $20 back with my dad because of his content being so good. So we got organic? 5 million organic, right? Okay. So our revenue.
I hope you can do that for me too.
It's amazing, right? So for example, in the month of November, we spent $200,000 on ads. We brought in $5 million in revenue, just to give you an idea, right? So high profit margin supplements, no, across the board. $200,000 were probably split between 50% was YouTube and the other 50% was TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. We used to be very heavy on Facebook, very heavy.
Yeah.
And
how's it going with shorts and like short form YouTube versus the long form? Are you doing that?
So I'm going to switch interviewers here now. It's a great question. So the my opinion on YouTube Shorts is that it's actually something that you should be doing very aggressively if you have a newer channel, not established channel, not growing channel just yet. Then you want to plug in YouTube Shorts and you do 3 to 4 a day because it's going to help you get discovery that YouTube is not going to help you on the full length videos. So that's the purpose of YouTube Shorts, in my opinion.
It's establish, like lead gen.
It's like getting visibility, audience building
likes
on steroids, because if you want to start going just doing horizontal full length videos on YouTube, you're not going to get some traction for a long time of being consistent unless you plug in something like YouTube Shorts, right? So here's my advice if you have an established YouTube channel. For anybody that has a channel that's growing at 10-20% open, 10-20% rates every month, like Jason Flatland, you know Jason Flatland? He's a great marketer. So he's one of the greatest of all times, actually. You should check out his book. He wrote a book called One Too Many. He's known as a webinar king. Like, to give you an example, he sold $57 million on one webinar last year. One webinar. He's that kind of a guy. The webinar king, the webinar goat, whatever. His YouTube channel, he started creating on it. We built the channel ourselves here at AGM. It went from 5,000 subscribers to 10,000 in the last 2 months. So it's growing fast now. If you guys have a growing channel, you don't want to plug in YouTube shorts on it, because what the algorithm was penalizing the content creator unintentionally, and they were sending more traffic to the shorts than the full horizontal videos. So this is something that YouTube already publicly talked about, and they said they were working on fixing it. And apparently on a big video conference that they had last month in November, they announced that they already have fixed the algorithm issue, because it was actually literally penalizing creators that had a good YouTube channel. So for Dr. Eric Berg, for Metabolismo TV, we don't do shorts. We don't do it. We actually created a separate YouTube channel. So for example, Dr. Berg, who's one of the legendary health educators, 9 million subscribers. We're going to hit 10 million very soon. Our client for 6 years. Dr. Berg, we created a separate YouTube channel called Dr. Berg Shorts. And that's where we do the shorts. And his main channel, we don't touch it. So it depends where you're at. If you want to grow fast because you're not growing fast enough, go all in on shorts, because that is the opportunity. It's very easy to subscribe. If you're growing already because YouTube is flowing already power to you and you're doing enough volume that is being consistent and you're growing, you don't want to touch that right then and there. So that's my thought. But I think I went into the subject. I haven't even told you the point of my subject of my the story. I believe that the going back to the content distribution, it's very important to make it look like organic and natural. And now I'm going to go back to user generated content. Okay. That content is really, really powerful for brands and e-commerce brands and anybody that wants to get attention on these platforms. And if you don't have a unicorn like my father, user generated content is your go-to strategy. Like if you have a great content creator like Dr. Berg, you go all in with that person because that person becomes real and people start buying your stuff. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. If I did zero user generated content for Dr. Berg, I'm still going to do in the ballpark of $100 million a year in revenue for him. Even though nobody else is talking about Dr. Berg's products. That is how powerful his content is. If you take away Dr. Berg, the brand doesn't really exist. Right, so it's really dependent on Dr. Eric Berg. That's why when my father passed, in order to keep the organization going, which we had 150 staff, 275 internationally, I had to figure out how do I make my father immortal with his content, which is what he wanted. He wanted continuity, he wanted legacy, and I took his content and I made it immortal by spreading it everywhere. So people every day discover us and they're like, oh my God, this guy is amazing. Where has he been my whole life? And they don't even know he passed away. It's incredible. So I have my dad's voice in my ear all the time. He was at the center. If you guys, if you walk into my building, there's a dedication on the on the wall.
Did you learn a lot from him?
Oh my God, he was my biggest mentor. He would not call himself as a marketer, but I would call him the greatest marketer that I've ever been in contact with.
Wow.
Because he had an incredible mind on, and here's what I think makes one a great marketer. Somebody that really wants to create an impact in the lives of others. Because you need to be able to have a desire to put your products and services in front of other people. That passion that you have, it makes you a good marketer because you keep on figuring out ways to put your message in front of them because you know you can impact the lives of people. Because that's my definition of a marketer. My father was an incredible marketer. He was obsessed with impact. He was obsessed with wanting to put his message in front of other people. And we accomplished it. And we did it together for many years. And it was a great decade for me to be able to help him spread his message. He was really good at that. Now, that being said, so if you have a content creator like him, then you go all in with that. That should not stop you if you don't. Because unicorns don't exist, right? They don't exist.
Yeah, it's hard to find.
So finding, people come to me all the time, Eric, and they say, I want you to make me the next Frank Suarez. I want you to make me the next Dr. Eric Berg. I want you to make me the next, like, whatever, right? I'm like, okay, all right, let's see what you got, right? Because I have seen enough to know that these people don't come about all the time. They're very unique.
That's so true. Like our, you know, we found a new product that really helped the company take off. But another part of it was having Michael, who was that top seller. And then he was the CMO. And now he's the president. Create and lead the community with the content creation and lead the Facebook Lives. And he's such a character. Like grandmothers love him. Like young people love him. Ecom bros love him. Like, it's so hard to find those people.
He's a magnet, right?
He's a magnet. He's just such an amazing like personality with so much chutzpah and like, you know, it's, but like it's, I couldn't plug anybody else in the company into that role. So when you, I think it's important to have a good eye for those people and then, you know, go all in on helping them.
Absolutely. Know? So if you are not that person or if in your brand, you don't feel you have the ability to be in front of a camera.
Yeah, you like need to find someone.
I've been on the front of the camera for 6 years talking marketing nonstop.
Right? Yeah.
If I feel like I'm that guy, right? And, you know, obviously my success is built around my content, webinars, seminars, et cetera. If you don't feel you have that ability, you either find somebody else that can do it or you got to figure out a content strategy that doesn't depend on you.
Another thing is... find it from your customer base too. Like we hire from our community, like our top sellers, we reach out to them and say, hey, do you want to work for us? Cause like they're super passionate about the product. They're going to create content that's passionate. Right. So it's just like cycle.
That's a great tip. It's a great tip because you bring in people that already are passionate about the product and service.
Yeah. So like, let's say, you just have your own skincare line. Don't call everybody, but go into your database, find who's buying the most and call them. And they might tell you like, amazing stuff about the product or why they use it. Of course, there's all that qualitative data, but like over time, you can ask them like, hey, do you want to make some content? Do you want to make some UGC? And then like, if they're good at that, like hire them full time, you know?
100%.
And incentivize it.
Yeah.
Maybe give them some small equity.
And that data is also available, by the way. If you have a Shopify site, if you have any of these e-commerce platforms, you can find that data very easily. The point is, I wanted to show you this, Eric. I don't know if you've seen it before, and I'll show the audience about this too. I get targeted with this ad, right? So let's say that you are not a Dr. Berg, okay? Uh-huh. And you are not a Frank Suarez, but you have an e-commerce brand, jewelry, or you have a supplement brand, or whatever that may be. There's many different variations of it. Mm-hmm. Your next best strategy is UGC. Getting a lot of people to start talking about your products and things that you got going on. So I was targeted by this ad right here. We'll show it to the audience too. Pick creators who fit your brand. Shopify, see this before?
This is Shopify, what's it called?
Shopify creators or Shopify.
Yeah, it's fairly new.
I don't know what it's called. Let me see what the link over here it says. Collab, Shopify collabs. So now they're allowing, it's fairly new, all right? First time that I get targeted was today. I've been a big advocate of using creators and using influencers and using other people to talk about you, about your product. And now Shopify is putting them in the same community.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to access these guys. I think it's going to be a
feature in the Shopify
app. In the Shopify site itself. So now people can manage. You don't have to worry about, again, they're eliminating the friction of managing these collaborators, right? Because now they're going to have their own dashboard and they're going to have the ability to get the links and share
creators
them.
Need to sell stuff too, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's perfect.
Yeah, so if you guys want to check that out for user-generated content, it's crazy because it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Because I believe that what they're going to do is they're going to just give access to getting commissions to these guys. Mm-hmm. They're going to make money from it.
They'll probably make some like affiliate link software.
That's right. Like right now, if I wanted to hire user-generated content, there is a lot of software. There's programs that are doing it. There's one that I've used called Billo. You heard about Billo?
Yes.
So you can hire people that's what they do. Mm-hmm. But I think this is something that I think Shopify is going to crush it with.
Yeah.
So it's a great tool.
Yeah, as long as they can get the sales attribution done for the creator as well.
That's right. Somebody has
they will.
Yeah, if they have like a following on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or whatever, you know, they'll share the links. People are going to come in and the dashboard is going to tell them. You don't have to manage that affiliate.
Yeah.
The dashboard knows it all. Makes a lot of sense. It's funny how sometimes technology figures out these things and then I'm like, wow, I didn't see that coming, but that's so logical, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense that Shopify built a platform for collaboration. Great. So brands can go in there and join, right? Mm-hmm. You guys can Google Shopify collab program. I don't know what the exact links right now. I have shopify.com/collabs. That's what I see right here. Check it out because if you're a brand, you can apply there. If you're an influencer trying to make some money, you can apply there. All right. It's really cool stuff.
Have you, I checked it out a few months back. Is there a place where you can log in and see?
I literally just saw the ad. I saved the link and you're the first person that I talked to. Yeah. They're running ads. Okay. Shopify is running ads.
Yeah. Right. I saw the article about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But you know, Shopify, they'll promote something and then they won't do anything and shut a lot of those down.
I wonder,
hope this one works though.
Right. I wonder if they're targeting me because I'm a seller, established seller already. And maybe they want to start with they have all the data, right?
Probably.
So maybe they want to be like, oh, let's target people that are doing $10 million a year.
I'm surprised your account manager hasn't reached out to you about it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting because obviously they have that data. So if they want to launch a pilot to only a small group of sellers, boom, they can launch it like that because they can be like, give me the list of sellers that do $10 million a year, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then put it in front of them.
Yeah.
Opportunities. Eric, it's been great to have you here today. I think we overextended ourselves quite a bit, but that happens when we have some serious value to give.
Yeah, it's fun. We're having fun.
I know you want to get started on giving a lot of value to people that are wanting to put themselves on a journey to expand themselves. So if somebody wants to connect with you, somebody wants to connect with Shine On, what do you suggest?
Facebook and Instagram, Eric with a C, T-O-Z. I'm Eric at shineon.com. And we have amazing live chat support. If you're in the app and you have any questions about how to use Shine On, we'll put you in the right direction.
So anybody wants to install the app and see what that looks like?
Yeah.
Shine On, two
and
words.
And the community on Facebook is Shine On Profits On Demand. That's kind of our bread and butter if you want to have a network and have a place to get started.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, so check this guy out. He means business. He's for real. He's a great success story. Eric, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much.
And I'll see you guys in the next Social Marketing Hour. Talk soon.
Bye.